We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Mayor Laura, so the last couple of years have been marked by some negative headlines about Providence politicians, whether it was House Speaker Gordon Fox or more recently Providence City Council President Luisa Ponte and Councilor Kevin Jackson. Has there been a negative, tangible impact on the city in terms of businesses not coming here or out-of-town businesses expressing concern to you about this kind of stuff, or not so much?
I mean, I hear that from folks, and folks have told me that they have spoken with others, in particular developers, who say that they want no piece of Providence so long as, you know, those are the headlines and they have to deal with corruption. And what's so frustrating is that I truly believe that we're turning the corner. It's not like it used to be. And there's no tolerance for these kinds of things. And I think that the residents of Ward 3, you know, with the statement that they sent, over 90% voted to recall someone. And I hope that that's a message that really resonates with anyone even thinking of cheating or dipping into the till. So it's not who we are anymore. And I really look forward to putting this behind us.
A lot of time when we see Rhode Island politicians get jammed up in recent years, and this is true with Aponte and Jackson, it's on allegations involving campaign finances. I wonder, would you support a city ordinance for spot audits of campaign finance reports to try and weed out possible wrongdoing?
Absolutely, and we're taking a look at that right now. A couple of things that I've done over the past couple of years. We impaneled the Ethics Commission in the city of Providence for the first time in the city's history. And in fact, the first issue that they took up was an ethics violation by Aponte himself. In the budget I presented, you know, I proposed a full-time staff person for the Ethics Commission, and we're looking at a whole series of different ordinances and bills to tighten up campaign finance laws and ethics responsibilities in the city.
Let's go to Scott.
You know, you've made some progress, Mayor, with city finances, but the pension, particularly the public safety side of it with police and firefighters, is seriously underfunded. I'm wondering why you haven't been able to make more progress on that issue.
There's a short term and the long term. By the end of this year, for the first time in a long time, city is once again going to have a rainy day fund, which is a huge deal, and it's what all the credit agencies look for. And this is what allows us to make investments that are important to the city. We do have those pension challenges that are hanging out there. You know, right now we're fine, but if we do nothing, 10, 12, 15 years down the line, we either have to dig deeper into the bone, which isn't an option, or raise taxes, which isn't an option either. Our folks are already taxed out. That's why we're working at the General Assembly this year. Over the past 2 years, we've been working on this. We had a commission of 35 people. They recommended, they made three core recommendations. Diversify our revenue, make sure that nonprofits are paying for their non-mission essential buildings, and looking at Providence Water Supply Board as a solution to the pension challenges. So we're working on each of those three issues right now. We're going to keep pushing through the end of the legislative session to make sure that we can address our short-term and our long-term finances too.
On a related question, Mayor, our friends at WPRI.com report that Providence's pension fund is down 5% since 2010. Over that period, the state's pension fund has climbed by almost 10%. And the net effect is that Providence is paying out tens of millions of dollars more in pension benefits than it's collecting. So how is the city going to get ahead of that?
That's true, but it's also misleading. So the way that it was designed in 2012 was that the amount within the fund would actually decline, and then it would increase over time. And that's part of the challenge, that so many of the payments that we're making into the pension system, they're back-ended. And so our contributions are going to grow very steeply in the coming years. So we're fine right now, but it's going to be very difficult to meet those rising costs unless we do something. The sooner we do something, the easier it'll be, and the more we wait, of course, the more expensive and difficult it'll be. And that's why we've had the most aggressive and the most ambitious legislative agenda that we presented at the State House. And we're not asking for a handout. We have a solution that is entirely within our means to pull off. We do need authorization, and that's what we've been asking of the state. You can't have a strong and vibrant state without a strong and vibrant capital city. This isn't about, you know, something that would simply help Providence parochially. what's good for Providence is good for the state as a whole. And I think that, you know, with these proposals that we have pending at the State House, if we can get these moving forward, this is a potential once and for all solution to all of Providence's challenges. We'd be able to bring our tax rate at a competitive level. We'd be able to invest in infrastructure, and we'd be set for the long term.
We're talking here with Providence Mayor Jorge Elorza, and while you tout the aggressiveness of the city's legislative agenda, House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello said your proposal to regionalize the water board was dead on arrival on the day it was introduced. Does that indicate that the city is not doing its homework in preparing its legislative agenda?
So we had our hearing in the House, and we got a lot of feedback, and we've made those amendments and those changes. And in fact, this week we have a hearing in the Senate. We've met with Senate leadership. We've met with the governor's office. And both of them have expressed that they want to be supportive. They need additional information. We've taken all of that feedback into account. We're going to make these amendments, and we're going to keep pushing. You know, this is something that is good for Providence, but most importantly, it's good for the entire state. When you look at water rates that are paid down in South County, and they pay about twice as much in Newport as folks pay in Providence, and they don't get as good quality water. At the same time, in the northern part of the state, we have abundance. In the southern part of the state, oftentimes we have scarcity, and there's no efficient way to get it from where we have it to where it's needed. That's why we're proposing this statewide water authority. Again, it's great for Providence, but it's great for the state as well.
Were you wrong, Mayor, to take bankruptcy off the table as an option in discussing the pension problem?
I'll tell you, I've looked at bankruptcy up, down, left side from every angle. We brought financial folks in. We brought lawyers in. And with the financial condition that the city is in right now, we've been told we would be laughed out of bankruptcy court. We're not a candidate for bankruptcy. To go into bankruptcy, you have to be insolvent. We're actually paying off our cumulative deficit. We have surpluses, and by the end of the year, we're going to have a rainy day fund. We're not a candidate for bankruptcy. And I do want to make clear, there is still urgency behind what we're doing. If we don't do something soon to address our long-term pension challenges, 10, 15, 20 years down the line, we will be at that point. But, you know, that's why we're sounding the alarm right now at the State House, saying we have a potential solution to this. We don't need a handout. All we need is authorization. Let us do this, and we can once and for all solve Providence's short-term and long-term financial challenges.
It seems that nothing gets built in Providence without some sort of tax incentive agreement.
Yeah.
How do you justify that to the existing businesses that pay some of the highest commercial taxes in the nation?
Yeah, that's what's so unfortunate. And what we've been doing with our long-term planning is every decision that we make, we think through, and we have a schedule for it. What impact will it have financially 5, 10, and 15 years down the line? With respect to the changes that we're proposing at the State House, if we're able to get this through, we're in a position where we can lower our commercial rates by about 20% and be much more competitive with our neighbors, so that every new development wouldn't have to be incentivized through a TSA. None of these issues, you know, they're all 30 years in the making. None of them are going to be fixed overnight. But we have a plan in place to make sure that 5, 10, 15 years down the line, we're not in this position where we have to give these TSAs.
Mayor, Crime Town, harmless entertainment about the not-so-good old days, or a nickname that the city really doesn't need?
You know something? If it was a different time, and you know, if the show wasn't ending at the same time that one of our council people was getting arrested and another one was getting recalled, maybe my answer would be different. But you know, it just comes at the wrong time. We have shed so much of our image. We are being forward-thinking. We're being transparent and honest. We truly are turning a corner. To have these developments in the city council come out right now at the same time that Crime Town is ending, you know, makes it so that we just don't need these headlines.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And the mayor of Providence, Jorge Elorza.
Great to be here as well.